Thank you, Brother Peter. Good morning, church. So good to be with you today. I hope that you brought a Bible. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 is where we'll be looking at God's Word together this morning. If you did not bring a Bible with you, that's all right. If you look to the right or the left of you, you're going to see a friend in your pew, and they brought a Bible. And so I hope you'll get to know them and look off of theirs as we look at God's Word together in the book of Acts and the 8th chapter. Acts chapter 8. Look out, and I see that we have a number of guests with us today. We do it every service. We're so glad that you're here. Hope that you will take a moment to help us connect with you. There's two ways to do this. First, inside the program, there's a connection card. You can fill that out and place it in the basket. We'll be passing baskets here in a few moments. And there's a way there to share your prayer requests or any way that we can minister to you. Also, for our first-time guests, if you don't want to fill out the card, you could just text welcome to the number there on the screen. And that'll help us to connect, and we can work with you there, and we'd love to do that. Hope that you can stick around for a few moments after services and get to know us, because we would love to get to know you. Would love to get to know you and study God's Word together with you. As we begin this morning, let me ask you the question. What are you looking for? What is it that you are seeking? Is it peace? Is it hope? Is it forgiveness? Is it a fresh start? Are you seeking God? And if you should find what you're looking for, what would that be worth to you? Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 13 and verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. A parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable, a story that Jesus told about someone, a merchant, who knew what he was looking for. Oh, a precious pearl, and he finds the one. What's it worth to him? It's worth everything. And what does the Lord teach us? That seeking God is like this pearl of great price. You ought to be seeking him and looking for him. I bet there are some here this morning who are. And that it is worth everything when you should find the truth of God. And we say, well, are people looking for God in this way? Has anyone ever? Absolutely. In fact, that's why we're looking together at the book of Acts and Acts chapter 8. You know, the book of Acts in your New Testament is full of all sorts of people who were seeking God's truth. They wanted to get right with God. They were looking for God. And so they learned the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They became Christians. And in Acts chapter 8, we're going to notice the account of one man, an Ethiopian treasurer, who became a Christian. I believe that there is nothing more important than your soul. And when Jesus asked, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He was telling us that there is nothing more precious than your soul. It is worth everything. It is worth stopping everything in order to take care of it. And I'm going to tell you this morning, we're going to learn about a real person this morning who believed that, who lived that. He even stopped his chariot in order to get right with God through Jesus Christ. Now, I cannot tell you his name. I wish I could. The Bible doesn't show us that. But I can tell you his race. He was an Ethiopian. I can tell you his religion. He was a Jewish proselyte. I can tell you his occupation. He was a government official. He was a treasurer, in fact, for a great queen. I can tell you a little bit about his family. We know he did not have any children, for he was a eunuch. And I can tell you that he had a sincerity of heart to be right with the true and living God. And when he learned that you get right with God through the Savior Jesus Christ, when you're baptized, he stopped everything, and he was baptized. I'm so moved by this account in the scripture that I'm going to share with you today, and I just desire and pray for that sincerity of heart myself. I pray for that sincerity of heart of all who hear my voice this morning, that we might stop everything, even a chariot of our lives, to get right with God. If we know that our soul is not safe in the hands of God through the Savior Jesus Christ, if we have not become a Christian, I would that you would stop everything this morning to be baptized and become a Christian. I would that all of us would be as honest, sincere, and genuine about obeying the gospel of Jesus as this Ethiopian treasurer that we're considering right now. I hope you have found the book of Acts. Let's read Acts chapter 8 together and learn from his example, from his conversion, what happens when the seeking find Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, we're going to begin our reading in verse 26. Look at your Bible in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Philip was an evangelist. Philip was a preacher of the gospel in the early days of the church. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now I say that this fellow is seeking. He is seeking. And the first thing I want to observe with you is that this treasurer sought God. He was seeking God. That's number one in your notes. And as we begin to unpack this statement, and the truth of it is so clear from these first three verses we read out of Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 29. I want you to appreciate that this fellow sought God, and he wanted to be right with God. He sought God, and that he was willing to stop his routine in order to worship God. He sought God through worship. Worshiping the true God according to the Word of God, the Scriptures. Now this Ethiopian fellow is a Jewish proselyte, meaning that he was not born a Jew. He does not share Jewish ethnic heritage, but in some way he has learned of Judaism. He has learned of the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has converted. He is a practicing Jew. And part of Judaism meant traveling to Jerusalem to the temple to offer worship, to offer tithes and animal sacrifices for various things, for his sin as well as for thanksgivings. He sought God. He was truly seeking God. Now, when we say that this fellow was seeking God in worship and that he was willing to travel to Jerusalem, that is no small thing. I apologize. I thought that was going to be a little darker there. But you can see the map, and that's the important thing. You can see the map, and that's the important thing. When we say that he traveled to Jerusalem, I want you to see that at the bottom of the map in red letters is Ethiopia. At the top of the map in red letters, you see Gaza, this little strip west of, or on the west side of Israel, I should say, where our account is taking place. And I want you to appreciate that between Ethiopia and Candace's palace, where he lived and worked, and Jerusalem, is 1,000 miles. 1,000 miles. Now here's a fellow with a chariot and a servant of servants. Maybe he's got an entourage with him. He's kind of a big deal. But you know, if he can travel 30 miles a day, which would be a pretty good clip for horse and buggies, it's going to take him a month to reach Jerusalem. And that then it's going to take him a month to get back home. And so it is a major investment in time and resources for him to go to Jerusalem and worship. It is a significant interruption in his life and his duties back at the palace. Doesn't that just say amazing things about this fellow and how he seeks God? He was not the kind of a fellow that would read this part of the Bible and that part of the Bible and say, "Well, this part's kind of easy. I'm going to do this. This part's kind of hard. I don't like that. I'm not going to do that." No, he really was seeking God. He was interested in worshiping God. And so he would obey the Word of God as his worship was prescribed in the Old Testament. Now, not only does he seek God in worship, but he is seeking God in his reading of his own copy of the scripture. Now look at this, Acts 8 verse 28. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. Again, don't go over that too quick. This is a big deal. We're not talking about the day and age where everyone had a free Bible app on their smartphone. How does he have his own scrolls? He has paid an exorbitant price to have hand-copied scrolls, to have his own Bible. And after investing this money in the scripture, he is reading the scripture. He wants to understand the scripture. I am saying to you, this fellow seeks God. He loves God. He loves the word of God. And he wants to understand it. And so what's he do? Well, he has questions about it and he is seeking answers. This treasure, as we continue our reading, is seeking answers. Let's go back to Acts chapter 8 and notice in verse 30 again how Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now look at verse 32. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself, or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now I want to appreciate how he stopped talking in order to listen. I'm not saying that this treasure was argumentative at all, but I mean that he had been speaking and he'd been speaking aloud. Did you catch that? In verse 30, he had been reading the scripture aloud. It says Philip heard him reading. So as he's going down the road, he is reading aloud this scripture. Incidentally, that is a normal way for the Hebrews who were taught to read scripture. You always read it aloud. We might think that a little different today. We tend to read to ourselves and read quietly, but he's reading aloud. Philip knew right what place he was reading in the text. But I just want to say this, that it sure is difficult to listen to anyone. It sure is difficult to learn anything when we're talking or even when we're reading aloud. But what do we see? This treasure, he's a humble man. He's desirous to understand what he's reading. He says, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" It is one thing to read, kind of chew it over in your mind, think, well, it could be this, it could be that. It is something else to discuss a matter with a knowledgeable person. And to the treasurer's good pleasure, Philip was that knowledgeable person. Here's a guy that wanted to talk about the scripture. That's what the Ethiopian treasurer wanted to talk about as well. And so here they have this place. And here is Philip, who's this knowledgeable man. And they start right at that scripture and it says, Philip preached Jesus to him. I like that. Acts 8 verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Jesus. Jesus is this Lamb of God. Jesus is silent before his accusers. Jesus was humiliated, shamed, despised, and tortured at the cross of Calvary. It is Jesus' life that was taken from the earth. It is Jesus who died. And now not only is Philip in a position to tell this treasure that you are reading about Jesus, this is prophesying Jesus. It's not just that Philip can tell him Jesus died. Philip is in the position to tell him why Jesus died. And Philip is in the position to tell him what happened next. Now notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to put your marker there in Acts 8, we're going to return to it in just a moment. But why did Jesus die? What happened next? This is good news. This is at the heart of the gospel, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he wrote, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." That's the good news. The gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. What is it that Philip can tell him? Philip can tell this treasurer, yes, Jesus died, according to the Scriptures. All is prophesied, all is God's plan, for your sins. For my sins. And that death was not the end of this story. But that there was a glorious resurrection. That Jesus, who died for our sins, conquered death, and that he rose from the grave on the third day. And this all according to God's plan and God's Scriptures. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died for my sins and rose again. I believe that with all my heart. And that is the message that Philip could declare to this Ethiopian treasurer. That it was Jesus. Jesus is the answer. For Jesus is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment, the Savior of all that the Jews sought. And that would include a proselyte like this fellow as well. This Ethiopian was far more zealous about his religion than many of the native-born Jews. Just look at what he did in order to practice the faith. And so, of course, he is just as eager, if not more so, for this deliverer promised in the Old Testament to appear. And Philip says he's here. It is Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Now, we don't know everything that Philip said at that moment when he preached Jesus, jumping off from this passage of Isaiah. But he evangelized this Ethiopian, and we can certainly read what this treasurer said next. What was he looking for after hearing the message of Jesus? He was looking for baptism. That's number three. This treasurer stops everything and he seeks, he asks for, he requests to be baptized. Now notice it with me. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. Now as they came down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And he baptized him. The treasurer stopped the preaching of Jesus to obey, to act. Now let that sink in for a moment. Because we don't see that happen too much today. When was the last time you saw somebody stand up and interrupt the sermon and say, preacher, preacher! Can I just get baptized? Or in a Bible class, you raise your hand. Yes, you want to answer the question? No, I'm good. I just want to get baptized. Want to get baptized right now? That doesn't happen a whole lot today. We don't see that very much. That's exactly what happens here, though. Philip's preaching. He's preaching Jesus to him. He's preaching Jesus to him. He's preaching Jesus to him. You will notice Philip does not say, look, here is water. You ought to be baptized. But it is the Ethiopian who says, look, here is water. What's keeping me? What's preventing me from being baptized? I want you to pick up on that. We don't see people interrupting the preaching to say, I want to do it, I want to do it, so much today, but we see it an awful lot in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it is the people who interrupt Peter in his sermon with the question, what shall we do? Oh, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 were baptized on that day. In Acts chapter 10, as Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his household, the first Gentile converts, his sermon again is interrupted, this time by the Holy Spirit. As it falls down on the people there in attendance, they begin speaking in tongues. There is assurance that God is in the preaching of the word to non-Jews. And Peter says, who would forbid water that these should be baptized? In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer is baptized in the same hour of the night that he heard the gospel preached, the first time. In Acts chapter 19, the disciples of John the Baptist at Ephesus, they were baptized in the name of the Lord as soon as they heard about it. Isn't that remarkable? And all I can figure is, back in Bible times, back in the first century, there must not have been a whole lot of teachers and preachers messing people up by telling them they don't need to be baptized. Or by telling them baptism, nah, that's just something for babies. Nobody was saying that. No, in Bible times, people were preaching Jesus. And the natural response to Jesus is being baptized. The natural response to this gospel is desiring to be baptized. You get right with God through Jesus when you are baptized. And we can certainly deduce some things that Philip did not preach. Well, why is that? Well, because look what the Ethiopian said. Look how the Ethiopian interrupts him, points out water, and requests baptism. What would cause him to do that? Right? So what did Philip not preach? Well, Philip did not preach, just be a good person. Philip did not preach to him the kindergarten gospel. And you know what the kindergarten gospel is, right? That's what they taught you to do in kindergarten. You keep your hands, feet, and all other objects to yourself. You say nice things. You don't pull hair. You take a nap. Right? Share. and you'll go to heaven. Just be nice. Because if he told him, just be nice, the treasurer would not have said, here's water, I want to be baptized. He wouldn't have stopped the chariot to get baptized if all he had to do was be nice. Philip did not preach to him, continue on in your religious practices. That if you will observe Old Testament Judaism and keep the law, that will make you right with God through the Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't tell him, you know what, animal sacrifices, keep doing that. Dietary regulations, you got it. Temple worship through the Levites, keep on with that. Just do what you're already doing, and that's how you'll be saved in Christ. If that was the case, he could have gone right on in his travels. He wouldn't have had to stop for water, wouldn't have stopped for baptism. I'll tell you something else. He did not preach to him. And this throws a wrench in some people's sermons, but he didn't preach to him justification by faith only or faith alone. That at the moment you believe, you are made right with God through the Savior Jesus Christ. How do you know he didn't tell him that? Well, in James chapter 2 and verse 24 is the verse in the Bible where you find the expression faith only or faith alone. And what that scripture says is, we are justified by works and not by faith alone, not faith only. The only verse in the Bible that says faith alone says you're not saved by faith alone. And so Philip didn't tell him that. If he had told him that, they wouldn't have needed to stop this chariot for baptism. He could just say, well, I believe that. Let's keep going. I got a long journey ahead of me. Tell you something else, he must not have preached to him. He must not have preached to him, you get right with God through the Savior Jesus Christ when you pray this sinner's prayer. How do you know he didn't say that? Because the Philip would have said, won't you lead me in prayer? Won't you pray with me? Here I am, help me accept Jesus into my heart. But he doesn't do that, does he? He says, here's water. What's keeping me from being baptized? Now, Philip said something to bring about those words and that reaction. What would it possibly be? Philip must have preached at some point, you get right with God through the Savior Jesus when you're baptized. When you're baptized. Now, that would exactly prompt this treasurer's words and reaction. What hinders me? What hinders me? What would keep someone even this morning from being baptized as the scripture teaches? What hinders me? And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, this fantastic question finds an answer. See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That's it. Believe this message. Believe this gospel with all my heart. That's it. That's all. How incredible and how gratifying for a proselyte who had encountered many hindrances to obeying God. You see, this fellow's heart was so sincere. He had overcome so much, always to obey God. It was never easy for him, being born in Ethiopia, living 1,000 miles from the temple, being second class in his own religion because he was a eunuch. Don't forget that part, folks. After he gets to travel 1,000 miles to go to the temple, they didn't let him go all the way inside because he was a eunuch. That was part of the religion. Can you imagine traveling 1,000 miles to get to the church building and you don't get in past the foyer? But he's willing to do that because he loves God. And this is what the scripture said. He's going to follow that Old Testament. And so to say, well, what's keeping me? He's expecting something here. There's always been something. What has Philip held back? What is the obstacle? What is the hindrance? I just want to be right with God through Jesus. There is none. Praise God, there is none. If you believe this gospel of Jesus Christ, you may obey this gospel of Jesus Christ. You may come into Jesus Christ. If you believe, you can be baptized. You get right with God through Jesus when you're baptized. And that's what he did. Number four in your notes, the treasurer stopped the chariot. He stops this chariot. Verse 38 says, so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Now he stops this chariot in order to be baptized. And I think right there we learn some things about baptism, at least baptism in the Bible. What do we learn? Well, for one thing, we learn that baptism is never sprinkling or pouring. If New Testament baptism is sprinkling or pouring, you don't have to stop the chariot for that, okay? A canteen will do. We got our canteen, we'll sprinkle a little on or we'll pour a little over your head. That's not the case. There has to be a body of water large enough that what happens? Both the treasurer and Philip get down into this water. It's not sprinkling or pouring. What is it? New Testament baptism is absolutely immersion. It's submersion in water. In fact, the scripture teaches us that it is a burial. And just as surely as Jesus died for our sins, was buried in the earth and rose again. So when we are baptized according to the New Testament, there is a burial in water to know a new life in Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, the Christians are reminded, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now we're united in Christ. Now his death for our sins benefits us. Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That's when it's happening. That's when it's going on. This miraculous spiritual power of salvation. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's not that the water has power in it. That you got to go be baptized in the Jordan River. Or in some pond along the road to Gaza, or in a baptistry in a church building. It's not because of the water per se. But when is God choosing to act, to put you into Christ, to take the benefit of the death of Christ, his payment for your sins, and wash your sins away? It's when you're baptized. It's when you're baptized. And it's a burial. How was Jesus buried? Well, they put him in a tomb. They put a big rock over it. Yeah, they sure did. He was completely enclosed in the earth. So baptism is an immersion, a burial in water. You are completely in the water and you come up out of it. You get right with God through Christ when you are baptized. Was he right with God? Well, notice at the end of our text how he goes on his way rejoicing. In Acts 8 and verse 39, now when they came up out of the water, he's been immersed in water. The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Now he had hundreds of miles and many days ahead of him to travel. But do you know what? It was not the same person getting back up into the chariot as got down out of it. It wasn't the same person. You see, a Jewish proselyte had stepped out of the chariot, but it was a Christian who got back in the chariot. It was a person who was seeking God and wanted to get right with God who stepped out of the chariot. But it is a person who is right with God that got back in the chariot. And while he had departed for Ethiopia, he has a whole new destination, my friends. He's going to heaven. And while he was a treasurer for a queen, he is now the child of a king. You get right with God through Jesus. When you are baptized. What happens when the seeking find Jesus? They hear His word and they obey it gladly. And if you are seeking to be right with God through Jesus Christ this morning, you have an opportunity to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You have the opportunity to do what this Ethiopian treasure did when he found the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to take your songbooks out, the song will be on the screen in just a moment, put your Bible and your notes away. And Brother Peter's going to come forward and lead us in one more song, an invitation song. We started with the pearl of great price. There was a merchant who knew when it was real and knew he had to have it. And I want to encourage you this morning, it's real what you read in the Bible. It's real the journey that this Ethiopian treasurer was on, the gospel that was offered to him and how he responded. It's real. Will you respond? Will you obey? Are you looking for God and to be right with God? It happens through the good news of Jesus Christ, who did die for your sins, that you might be forgiven of them, that you must be a part of Him. And so turn, repent of sin in your life. Confess even this morning, you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized, be immersed in water, that your sins be washed away, that you leave here rejoicing. If we could help you with that, or any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now, so together we stand and sing.